The light shines in the darkness. That's something that is repeated throughout this letter that we're going through this month and last month, 1 John. So that's why we're thinking about light and darkness. Jesus is the light of the world. So now we move to hear a little bit more of God's word, a little bit more from 1 John. On the thought of family resemblance. Here's one particular family. You can obviously tell that they're family. They all have kind of the same face, don't they? Yeah, they kind of do. I don't know if that's contrived or not, but they look very similar one to another. But it happened again to me just a few weeks ago. We had one of our visiting missionaries, Eric Shearing, he was here with his wife, Penny. They do their work half of the year in Papua New Guinea. The other half of the year, they're stateside. And after the service, this was the first time I'd met him in person, Eric looks at me and says, you know, rules. Do you happen to know a Shirley? Yeah, okay. Hi, Mom. Right? Usually the rules that people know around here was an Edwin rules, because he was a pastor back in the 70s, just north of here a little ways. So if anybody of you have been here since you were, I don't know, little kids or something like that, you would know that rules. Well, I'm used to it being my mom all the time, my mom, because, let's see, she was a professor and then a dean at the college I went to. So every office I stepped into, you know, is your mom Shirley? Yeah, that's my mom. Yeah, okay. I got it. She's my mom. Well, I love my mom, but there is something in me that, hey, I want to be my own person. I don't just want to be Shirley's son. I want to be Dan, right? And I think any of you that have stuck around in an institution where your parents were maybe known more than you were, or if you're still in a church, say, where your parents are here and you're so-and-so's kid, yeah, we know there's a family resemblance, but, you know, sometimes we just want to be us. Well, family resemblance, though, whether we love it or hate it, it's inescapable. We want to be our own person, but, hey, there it is. Whether it's the genes or the destiny, family resemblance is going to remain. You know, things like, I have it, my father has it, my sister has it, right? Genes or destiny, there it is. Family resemblance. There's also a deeper resemblance, though, a deeper family that hangs on to us, that marks us for who we are. It's the resemblance to our Heavenly Father, to God, our Father. Every human being is His. Every human being bears the marks of our Heavenly Father. But so many of God's children are estranged. So many are separated from their true home. As long as they continue to sin, they live in shame. And it just reinforces and reinforces. And they feel they can't go home to Dad. They feel they won't be accepted. Because they remember that day when they chewed out Dad, they gathered their things in a huff, and they moved in with a friend just to finish out and live their own life. Thank you very much. But every night, Dad prays for their return. Sometimes even the Heavenly Father sends little cards into our lives. He always says the same things. Come home. I love you. Come home. And yeah, Dad's morality and this love talk just seems really old-fashioned. But our Heavenly Father understands something that so many of us children just don't. That His old loving morality is rooted much older than any of us can realize or comprehend. It's not rooted in a time, it's rooted in eternity. And our Heavenly Father sent His Son to die to prove it. A lot of you are children who've come home. Some of you might not be. But understand that because of who our Heavenly Father is, He will always welcome you home with the open arms of grace. And over you, your Heavenly Father says with joy, my children, you're my children. Here it is from 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. On page 1900. page 1900. 1 John chapter 2, verse 28. So under that heading there that says, Children of God. 1 John chapter 2 on page 1900. Chapter 2, verse 28. Here's what John, who is one of Jesus' best friends, writes to some early Christians and to us. And now, dear children, continue in him, so that when he appears, we may be confident and unashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he's righteous, you know that everyone who does what is right has been born of him. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called the children of God. And that's what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it didn't know him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when he appears, we'll be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. How great is the love the Father's lavished on us that we should be called the children of God. Dear children, that's a really accurate translation here. There's an intimacy, a deep relationship, a love. It's close. It's very personal. God is not far away. The Father is very near to his children. And for the readers of 1 John, the ones who first got this letter, I suppose they probably needed that reminder because so far, John's been really kind of hitting them hard about sin, as in, hey, listen, you guys got to work on this stuff and beware the Antichrist. And the Antichrists, there are many of them, John writes. And he gets to this part and says, now, maybe that's all a little scary, but remember who you are. Remember that you are the Heavenly Father's dear, dear children. And in that, you can take comfort. Because, verse 28, when he appears, you can be confident and unashamed. Oh, when the Heavenly Father appears. Well, have you ever had that thing? Wait until your father comes home. Just a little straw poll here. Do you ever have that said to you as a kid? Wait until your father comes home? Okay, really that few. I thought this was like a widespread phenomenon. Okay, so just a few of you. Wait until your father comes home. I definitely had it. And for those of you who experienced that wait until your father comes home thing, it was almost always a threat, right? Like, for me, that was, I was in my room and I was listening for the garage door, just kind of sweating out the minutes. You know, and I'm thinking, okay, Dad gets home at 5:30, and I just kind of get uncomfortable. He's sitting on my bed, and I'd sweat, and I'd think I hear something. I'd look at the clock, 3:37. Oh, no, I got to sit here for 2 more hours, wait, until my father comes home. You know, and that was sometimes even worse than the actual coming home, right? Well, here's John writing about the great cosmic wait until your father comes home. But it's not one of these threat situations, not exactly. This is a little bit more like, wait until Daddy comes home. Because Daddy is going to take you up in his arms. He's going to pick you up. He might toss you. He's going to spin you around and tell you how much he loves you and how much he has longed to finally be home with you. Wait until your father comes home. That's the kind of homecoming that's promised here to these dear children. And that's why the children of God can have confidence. They know why Daddy's coming home. He's coming home to love them, and they can't wait. Now, to be confident and eager like this, to be God's dear children, you really do have to understand, first of all, who the Father is. Because you could get the idea that perhaps maybe God, the Heavenly Father, is really just coming to judge the world. And understand, too, that, you know what? A parent who does no discipline is not loving. Because, you know, if you had a fight with a sibling and you were wronged, wouldn't you want your parent to step in and make things right? Okay, that's love too. So yeah, that's part of what God the Father is going to do. But that's part of love. That's part of embracing his world. But you got to know who the Father is. Sometimes we can miss it, or sometimes we get so used to the idea of who God our Father is, if we are his dear children, that it just kind of slips our mind a little bit. I heard a story a couple weeks ago about a young lady named Diane Disney. Diane Disney. Okay, so you know probably where this is going, right? Diane Disney's a little girl. She's in one of her first elementary school years, and the teacher's reading off the list of names. Okay, you know, so-and-so, A, B, C, okay, and D. Diane Disney, are you here? She says, yeah, I'm here, I'm Diane Disney. And the whole class, Disney? Your last name is Disney? Like for real, like, you know, so who's your dad? You know, And this poor little girl just gets teased all day long. Hey, Diane Disney, is your dad's name Walt? She says, yeah. She gets off the bus, gets home, sits around the house a little while. Hey, dad's home. He's reading the paper. And she stomps over to dad, tears the paper out of his hands, and says, you didn't tell me that you were Walt Disney? You see, she knew her daddy, but she didn't know he was Walt Disney. Yeah, Walt Disney. God our Father is coming home. We have a Heavenly Father. In fact, we have to know him well. We have to know that he is the creator of all that is. He's the one who sent Christ to redeem everything. That's daddy. Yeah, well, that's pretty special. And he's coming because he's righteous, verse 29. And if he's coming, we can be confident. He's coming for us. He's coming to love us because we know who dad is. What's the love of a dad like that like? Well, it might be like some of these parents I'll show in just a moment. And one caveat on the video, I asked the parents to be very specific and to sometimes choose one of their kids, not because I wanted to exclude anybody, but because specific is better. So if somebody got excluded, don't worry, it's not, there's nothing going on there. The pastor made them do it, okay? But here it is, a few parents.
Corey, I love you, and I've loved you before you were born, and I remember the day you were born, because we couldn't even hold you in our hands yet. But at that point, we knew already that God loved you even more than you loved him, and then we loved you.
Allie, we love you so much. We see you growing every day at Iowa and the special person that you've become. But know that Jesus Christ loves you more than we ever could.
To my girls, all of you, I want you to know that I love you from the bottom of my heart, and especially during those moments of confusion. And all I want you to know is that God loves you more than anything else, no matter what.
Craig, we love you especially because you take God seriously. First, you serve God. Second, you are a good husband and dad. And third, you do your work with a good conscience and with all your ability. We want you to know that we love you very much, and your Heavenly Father loves you even more than we do.
Bethany, we're so blessed to be your parents, and we specifically were thankful for the way that you show love and kindness to all those around you. Derek, we are, again, so blessed, thrilled to have you for our son, and we are thankful for the love that you show in your hard work and for your excellent choices, and then the way you look out for people, especially your sister. Justin, your love shows through the ways that you help others, that you look for ways around the house to help me and your father, and our family would not be the same without you. We love you all so much.
Yes, we do love you so much, and as much as we love you, you know that God loves you so much more than what we do.
That's well said. You can hear the love coursing in the veins of these parents that were just up on screen, right? Some of them are barely holding it together because their love is that strong. It's almost overwhelming. But then they say, because this they believe, God, your Heavenly Father, loves you even more. How could that be? How great is the love that the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called the dear children of God. Well, we must remember the cost to the Father of claiming you as his child. You must remember that it cost his firstborn son. And that the firstborn son said to his dad one night in a dark garden, knowing what was about to happen, he said, "Dad, if there is any other way, but if this is the only way to bring them home, then I'll do it. I'll do it because we love them. I'll do it because you're dad. Because if this is your plan, if this is how we must love, therefore I will do it. We will gather them in. We will bring them home. We will call them our children, and I will call them my brothers and sisters." That's a great side effect of being the children of your Heavenly Father, is that you get to be brother and sister to Jesus Christ. You're in the family. Now we are children of God because of what Christ has done for us in the Father's plan. And boy, does the Father know you. He's fascinated by you. He's absolutely fascinated by you. His love is perfect. He studied everything about you. Before a word is on your lips, he knows what you're thinking. And he knows why you're going to say what you're going to say. And he has big dreams for you. And his dreams for you are bigger than the dreams that you have for yourself. Yeah, he loves you that much. And he loves you enough to tell you when you've gone off the right track. That's true. Oh, and by the way, Dad's rich. He is. He's filthy rich. And he promises you an inheritance that outshines anything you could possibly gain in this world. And he just wants you to come home. He just wants you to be home with him. In the meantime, he's got big plans to change the world, to restore things to the way that they ought to be. And in fact, he's put the tools in your hands. He's taken you out in the backyard and said, "All right, we're going to go after this tree. We're going to trim this bush. We're going to plant this garden. We're going to do that house project. We're going to thread the wire. And you're going to help me in the shop." Yeah. Dad's cool like that. He is. Because he involves us in his kingdom. He involves us in the project of redeeming the world because we are his children, because he loves us that much, and because there is nothing we can do that will really, in the end, mess up his ultimate plan. He's going to take us along because we're family, because he loves us. From there, we can go somewhere. If we remember who we are and whose we are, then we can begin to live. I was reminded of a children's cartoon that's very popular in my house right now called Ben and Holly's Little Kingdom. And it features some fairies and some elves all speaking in British English, which leads to some rather hilarious effects around our house. Because whenever Rachel goes into, like, character for pretend play, she speaks British, which is really curious. I don't know if our kids are, like, 2.25 lingual or something. I don't know, because they do Spanish, too, but then they've got Ben and Holly's Little Kingdom, right? So this is very enjoyable. And in this cartoon, there are these moments wherever the plot leads where the characters come up against a challenge or a crisis. And they often, probably once an episode or every other episode, they say something like this. Like Ben, who's an elf, he'll say, "Well, elves are good at fixing things. And I'm an elf." So then he comes up with an idea to fix it. Because, you know, he knows who he is. Or Holly, the fairy. She'll say, "Oh, well, fairies are good at magicking things. And I'm a fairy." So off she goes to work on the problem of the particular episode. If you remember who you are, you can figure out how to live. What if we were to meet all the various challenges of our life by remembering who we are? What if we were to say, "Wait a minute. Yeah, this is a problem, but you know what? I am a son of my Heavenly Father. And the sons of the Heavenly Father are good at dealing with exactly these things. Therefore, I will do this. I will handle it this way." Or, "I'm a daughter of my Heavenly Father. And I know that my Heavenly Father and all of his children are good at doing this, therefore I will also. Because you know who you are. Therefore you can live. You're part of the household again. You can do the things that the family does. If you remember who you are, you can figure out how to live. If you remember that you're a child of the Father, the one who is patient, you know then that you've got eternity coming to you. So what's the rush? You can be patient because the children of God are patient, because he is patient. Well, and you can be kind like your Heavenly Father because he has nothing that he's afraid of losing. Neither do you. Not really. Not in an ultimate sense. You can be kind like your Heavenly Father because you're the dear children. You can be righteous like him, this passage tells us, because you know what Dad wants. And actually, because he helps you, you can do it. You can be righteous like he can. Not because you have to, but because you get to. You're the children, so you can. And you can love like him. Could you even imagine it, really? That someday we'll be like him. We are the children of God. What we will be has not yet been made known, but when he appears, we'll be like him. We'll be like Daddy, all grown up. And we can meet tomorrow out of remembering who we are. Verse 3 mentions hope. Once you have a restored relationship with your Heavenly Father, once you're in that household, you can be a person of hope. So this week, you know what? Hey, there's going to be some challenge somewhere, right? Something that just makes you want to give up on something. Maybe it is time to move on, but you don't need to despair of your life or what's truly important because you're a person of hope. And you know what? The children of God are children of hope. And if you're a child of God, therefore you hope. Therefore you can speak of it to others. People who are down and out about the condition of the world, you say, you know what? I'm a child of my Heavenly Father. I have hope for this world. It doesn't come from the world. It comes from him. But if I'm a child of his, I can hope. Here's why. Speak about it. Speak of hope because you're a child of the King. You're a child of the Father. And they're good at hope. And so can you be. Or what about purity? This week, you're going to be tempted, probably, many of you, to get near or get involved with stuff that you know you shouldn't be. You know. Well, don't get drawn in. When you're tempted to lust, or when you're tempted to poison a relationship in order to win, right? We're very familiar with those things, right? We want to win that debate, but maybe that's not what's most important. Maybe the relationship is what's most important. Well, don't give in to that temptation. Remember, that's not who you are. The children of God are good at purity, says verse 3. They're good at purity, being innocent of these things. And so you're a son, you're a daughter of the Father. So you also be pure. And we can't forget the biggest one that runs throughout all of the Bible. This week, something's going to stir your anger. Something's going to poke or tweak your outrage. Because you're going to get offended, and you're going to have a sense of wanting to claim what's right for you, your rights. Well, take a deep breath. Remember that your Heavenly Father offered forgiveness in Christ before you even wanted it. Before you even asked for it, it was there. And now, you're a child of your Heavenly Father. You're in the household, and therefore you son, you daughter, remember graciousness. Remember forgiveness. You can forgive because you're a child. Because you've been forgiven. Let go of that war of bitterness you think you need. No, just let it go. Let it go. Because you're a child of your Heavenly Father. And there's more to come. If these are the things that we can do now because we've been saved, because we're in the family again where Dad has always wanted us, what you will be, that's still a bit of a secret. Dad's going to let that out. The prize box a little bit later. It's coming. And when you grow up fully, there are going to be no flaws to pass on. No. Someday your past will only be the dead past. It will never come back. You'll be all grown up, and you'll be everything that you're meant to be and have always been meant to be as a son or daughter of your Heavenly Father. You see, dear children, there's a family resemblance. You are like the Father. This is for your sake, for the sake of a watching world, but also for the praise of His glory and love. Amen. Heavenly Father, You have reminded us either who we already are or who You want us to be. Lord, there may be some here who are not sure whether they are Your children. And I ask that You call them by Your Spirit. Call them with Your love, the love of a good Father who wants all His children to be home, and not just for the holidays, but for eternity, always, to be who they're made to be loved and to give love, to be home where they belong. Call us all to Your side. By the strength and blood of our brother Jesus Christ, we can belong. We give You praise. In Jesus' name, amen.